the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger, made in the Caribbean, formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth to meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust, built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, well, we begin with some pretty sad news this evening on Mason and Guests. In fact, about 2 or so hours ago, I was speaking to someone who comes on this show very often, Roland Butcher. And he did, in fact, indicate to me that his wife, Cheryl, was very, very ill. And I said, well, I hope that she gets better. And, you know, about, I'd say, an hour ago, I heard from Roland Butcher again. And he said that his wife had passed. Cheryl Butcher, who, as you know, would have worked at the Barbados Cricket Association for some time, I... wonderful hostess. I know she has been having some challenges in recent times and went back to England. And today I was speaking to a sobbing Roland Butcher, as you would expect. And he did, in fact, confirm about an hour ago that his wife had passed. May she rest in eternal peace. He has promised that if he can actually gather enough strength to come on the show this evening just to talk to us a little bit about it, he'll come. But we do understand his situation. So she has gone to the great beyond, and may she rest in eternal peace. So the wife of Roland Butcher, Cheryl, as I said, she worked at the Barbados Cricket Association for some time. She's gone to the great beyond. And in recent times, we've certainly lost a couple of people involved in cricket. Ian Bradshaw, well, I spoke to him today. His father passed recently, Lloyd Bradshaw. And, you know, Dexter Toppin, I did, in fact, send him a note today. I tried reaching him all day. His father actually passed. And we do know that, you know, Louis Linton, who's going to be buried, I think, on the 27th this month, he is was certainly a servant of cricket. And it's really very sad to see this happening. But these things happen. As they say, the Lord, he knows best. So once again, Roland Butcher, who was a regular contributor, former Barbados cricketer, former England batsman, losing his wife Cheryl today, just about an hour or so ago. And we at Mason and Guests no doubt would want to offer sympathies. And I would imagine that we should maybe go to Basil Butcher Jr., who's with us. Basil, of course, you would want to offer your sympathies. Basil?
Yes, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the panel. Good evening to your listeners. Yes, I received a text from Roland a couple hours ago. I'd known Cheryl was ill for a while, and to let me know that she passed, I think, at 3 p.m. UK time. Really sad, you know, for the family. And I expressed my condolence to him privately, but here I can do it publicly to the Roland's family. My sincerest condolences to Roland and his family, and may Cheryl rest in peace.
Dr. Ford.
Hi, good evening to the panel and to listeners. Yeah, I was fortunate to know Ms. Butcher through going to the BCA to pay my membership fees. Myself and my cousin over the years, very professional, courteous, efficient. And, you know, I have to send condolences to Roland and his family and all of our friends. May she rest in peace.
Yes, well, we've got some very special guests on the show this evening. Of course, they will want to offer sympathies as well. Let's start with the president of the Umpires Association, Gregory Brathen. Gregory?
Hey, good evening, Andrew, and your esteemed guest. Good evening, Barbados. I would also want to join in extending condolences on behalf of the Barbados Cricket Umpires Association to those who you would have mentioned from the top. Ian Bradshaw passing his father, Dexter Toppin's father, stalwart Lou Linton from Yorkshire Cricket Club, and of course to Roland and family, the passing of his wife today. Very warm, friendly, always professional lady, and you know, it's sad news to receive this evening at this at the start of your show. Always one of those most pleasant faces that you'll see when you walk into the BCA's office, and never saw her with anything other than a smile on her face. And I hope that that is the way that we will remember her, as she has gone on to be with her maker. May she rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. And well, Andrea Marshall is the president of the Spartan Club, and we've also got Armani Bess from Yorkshire. No doubt, Andre, you would want to offer condolences. Andre?
Hi. Good afternoon, Andrew. Good afternoon to the panel and to the listeners. I too want to echo the sentiments of the persons who spoke before me. Four basic words I can associate with her as well: professional, efficient, you know, willing to assist, and friendly. All of those stand out for me in terms of my interactions with her. Deepest condolences to Mr. Butcher and his family, as well as to Mr. Ian Bradshaw, the Linton family as well, and also Coach Dexter Toppin.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So on behalf of Spartan and myself, just wanted to, you know, further extend deepest condolences to the family of the departed.
And let's go to Armani Bess, who is from Yorkshire. Armani?
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening, everyone. Good evening to the panel. On behalf of Yorkshire Sports Club and myself, I would like to offer condolences to Mr. Butcher. I obviously would have worked with Mr. Butcher at university while I was there playing cricket, and I know how he must be right now, and I hope he's with his family. And yeah, death is not good, but so it goes. Also to Mr. Ian Bradshaw, and to obviously Mr. Linton, that I would have known for many, many years, and Mr. Dexter Toppin. Condolences. May they rest in peace.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Always sad when you have to start a program on that note. We obviously want to put the Barbados Cricket Association under the microscope this evening. And, of course, Philo Wallace is going to join us now. So we're going to, maybe before we do that, go to Philo. Maybe let him settle in. Is he with us? Philo is with us. So I don't know if he actually heard, but if you are with us, yes, he's actually with us though, Philo Wallace. Well, the passing of Roland Butcher's wife, Cheryl, you would want to offer condolences. Philo?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Sorry about my lateness. Good evening to your guests and your many listeners. Cheryl Harbour, the Bride of Heaven. Yes, Andrew, only last week I was told that Roland's wife was struggling a bit and she wasn't well. I know to learn of her passing is quite sad. Roland, obviously, my condolences to him and his wife, to his family, and all his many friends. And it's been a long, hard road for him and his family. I just want to wish him all my best and stay strong for her and stay strong for the family. I know at this time it is not easy, But it has been sadness, Andrew. And also, if I may add, the passing of my good friend Dexter Toppin's father. Mm-hmm. He's buried tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's so many sad moments in that we're experiencing in the cricketing fraternity. But my deepest condolences to Rowan's family. And I do hope that he can recover and be the man that we expect him to be. But it's a great loss for him, because they said behind every successful man is always that woman. I can remember when I first joined the BCA board, Cheryl was the one who really pointed me in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Any information I needed, you can always turn to Cheryl Butcher. Mm-hmm. Even when you went into the president's suite, again, it was Cheryl Butcher who made all the arrangements. Very pleasant woman, very warm and accommodating. And it was sadness, Andrew, this evening that I just got home, actually, to hear that his wife has passed. And it is just sad. Another great loss to Barbados, another great loss to the Barbados Association. Mm-hmm. But she's the one that brought calmness to the BCA in relation to customer service. And she really used to look out for the members. And I do hope that, you know, she gets what is fitting for her and for Roland by extension. Mm-hmm.
Andrew, can I just say something quickly? I met Cheryl for the first time. I think it was in 2008. That's when I met you also, Andrew, in 2008 for the test match against Australia. And Roland said you could go down. His wife works at the BCA office. So while we were at the match, I went down to introduce myself, right? And when I introduced myself, she hugged me. It was like we known each other for years and years. Very warm person. All the times I interact with her, very warm person. So I know it's a great loss to Roland. And Roland has been a rock, because I know Cheryl has been struggling for a while. And you would never believe that, you know, she was struggling when you would see him, you know. But maybe he kept it inside quietly, but he's been a rock throughout this process.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Very, very true. When I spoke to him today, in fact, I wanted to invite him on the show. And I knew that she wasn't well. And then when he said that she'd really taken a turn for the worse, and he actually said to me that he wasn't sure that she would have made it through the day. And then, you know, I mean, there was a silence, you know, and, you know, I could, you know, I mean, it was very, very sad. And all these things happen in life. May she rest in eternal peace. We want, of course, to look at the whole question of the Barbados Cricket Association. The season starts pretty, pretty soon. But, gentlemen, just before we do that, Courtney Walsh has consented to join us for just a couple of minutes. And as you know, he was the bowling coach of the Zimbabwe team that did pretty well in the competition. So we're going to just have a quick word with Courtney. No doubt Courtney, who would know Roland Butcher very, very well. Well, Courtney, if you didn't hear, well, Roland lost his wife Cheryl today, and I would imagine that you would want to offer condolences. Ambassador Walsh.
Good afternoon, Andrew. Good afternoon to your panelists and to the world listening. Yes, I only learned on the program. I've been on the road all day. And the last time we would have spoken to Cheryl and both Roland, we actually went to dinner in the UK late last year. And we were in each other's company, and he was pushing the book. And yes, you could tell that she was struggling a little bit, but you could never tell by Roland's presence and how they behave and their demeanor. So it's very sad. So I really want to offer my condolences to Roland and his entire family, and may her soul rest in peace. And I think Philo Wallace summed it up nicely just now, the way he put it. And as young Butcher said, she is so warm. I've never ever seen her not receive a hug. So, I mean, she's that kind of person. She's down to her. She's always there for you. And it's sad. I've just heard the news. And when I heard Philo speaking, I thought, you know, it was a sad time for me. So thanks for affording me the chance to pay my respect to the family, and she'll be sadly missed.
I know. Well, I know you're a very, very busy man. Gentlemen, we just want to have a quick word with Courtney. Courtney, first of all, congratulations. I know when you were at the World Cup, the time difference didn't allow you to come on Mason and Guest. How was the experience in relation to coaching the Zimbabwe team as the bowling coach? How did that go?
The experience was tremendous. as far as I was concerned, it went very well for the time that we joined, you know, what they wanted to get done and, you know, what we were able to impart and what I was able to impart upon the bowlers as well in such a short space of time, and the way they adapted to it and the effort that they put in. All the execution, all the plans probably didn't fit into place perfectly, but the attitude going about it and the work ethic and everything, you know, you can't fault it. They really showed a lot of respect and they showed courage. They want to learn. They want to improve. And I think that was evident in the way the team itself played in the World Cup. I know we didn't win any games in the Super 8, but the effort was still not flaunted. So I was happy for the experience. Happy to be able to pass on, you know, my few cents to them. But I was very happy and warming just to see the way they accepted, adapted, and how they were prepared to put the work in.
Yeah, but Courtney, you did in fact beat some big teams along the way.
Yeah, we did. I mean, Australia and Sri Lanka is no mean feat. So, you know, those are two big victories that we really, you know, went out to try. At the groups here, just say if we can win against one of these big teams, we have a chance of making it to the Super 8. So to knock the two big teams out, sort of over to make it to the Super 8 was a tremendous achievement. It's no mean feat. The guys were just elated. They were happy that the way things went. But I was particularly pleased in terms of the plan coming into place and how good it is for Zim Cricket to sort of make an achievement with all that was going on around us. So, you know, I was very happy to be a part of it and happy for the way the guys played, the team responded, how they played under pressure. I know we lost some crucial games as well, but the whole mannerism after the game, you know, we could sit back and talk a bit of cricket and just appreciate what we had achieved.
Mm. And is this a contract that is ongoing or you were just contracted for the World Cup?
Well, I was contracted for the World Cup, but they have indicated that they would like me to spend some more time with them. So we're in discussion at the moment to see how best that can be worked out. And it would have to be a long-term deal. And I say, yeah, they're keen on that. So there's every possibility that I could be with them for a lot longer.
Yeah, well, get Philo to be your negotiator. You may get a 3 or 4 year contract, Courtney.
All right, and he's going to give me good legal advice as well, so that's probably not a bad ploy.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, but just before you go, of course, no doubt Dr. Ford and Basil and of course, my good friend Philo would want to talk to you. Philo, are you a good friend?
Yeah, Ambassador Watch, congratulations. Ben, I saw that you were the bowling consultant for Zimbabwe. I said, well, Dan, I know you were in Zimbabwe a few years ago as well, doing some work. So your work normally obviously has gained the respect. But my question is the fast bowlers. You have Blessing, who has now moved on to the IPL. Mm-hmm. What kind of fast bowler you think he would be in another 2 or 3 years? Because we're looking at Test match cricket for Zimbabwe as well. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you're going to be extending your contract, your focus should be trying to get those fast bowlers to hone their skills better in the red ball format. What are the fast bowlers, what are the prospects they have there in Zimbabwe for quality fast bowlers?
Very good prospect from what you've seen in the ODIs. Blessings, as you mentioned, is the one that would tick all boxes. He could play all three formats, but you know, I would expect him to come into that test match series and do pretty well as well. So obviously, work in progress, working on him, and he's very keen, wants to do well in all aspects of the games, and that's always a plus. And what I love about the guys is that they're not shy of trying to put the work in and listening and trying to get things done as best as they can. So the only problem I had when we got down there was that Blessings hadn't played in cricket for a while. So we had to look after him and kind of keep him in cotton wool, so to speak. And probably as a result of that, you might notice, Philo, that at the back end, every time he came back at the back end, he might have struggled just a little bit. So it could have been a little bit of fitness or because of the amount of work he wasn't able to put in, he wasn't able to fire at the back end. So it's something we need, you know, we're going to be working on. But apart from that, they gave it everything they had. They left everything on the field of play. And that's all you can ask for, really. But to answer your question, I think they've got some good stocks of fast bowlers to work with. And I'm excited about what I've seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that the few that I've seen and the others that I've heard about, because I've not seen everybody else yet. The others I've heard about. When I'm back down there and we come together, it would be good to sort of get some work in and get them to keep improving.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Doc, any questions for Ambassador Walsh before he goes?
Yeah, just one question. Just I want to ask Courtney, as a in this alternative part of his career, where does he see his focus going forward? What would he like to be known for as a coach? Just developing fast bowlers, and or is there some other thing that you really want to focus on?
Well, the main aim is to develop fast bowlers, to get them going, have them working hard, but also to act as a mentor, a father figure, someone that they can open up to and have a proper cricketing discussion. Because what I want to know is that I've helped you to round the whole game. I've also spoken to quite a number of the batters in the camp. I'm not a batsman, as everybody would say, but just talking cricket with the experience that you can pass on. I've seen great players go about this stuff, giving them advice on how to get that work ethic up. And some of the guys are very keen and very good listeners, so that's a big plus. But I want to be remembered as someone that, you know, when we're in the dressing room, I'm fully committed to my team, whichever team I'm with, and I want you to improve in every department. But obviously, I have a special liking for the fast bowlers, so clearly I would like to see that area be the best at all times.
Basil?
Yes, a good segue, Washi, regarding the batting. Because actually, earlier today, I was watching a video of yourself and Jimmy when y'all pulled off that remarkable victory against Pakistan, where you showed your great leave alone batting skills and so on. But can you speak a bit about Evans? Evans seemed to be a decent prospect also.
He is a very decent prospect. Has very good all-round qualities. He's a student of the game, knows what he wants to do. And I'll probably say it here as well, because I've said it to him. Of all the bowlers that we had, he probably had 90% execution. Now, everything might not look that way, but he was probably our best bowler in terms of executing the stage of the game that he bowled in and how we went about it. And as we saw as well against the West Indies, he's no mug with the bat. But in terms of his cricketing ability, he's always wants to try and improve. And it's things that we've been working on. And, you know, he keeps asking good questions, trying to get the execution done. And I tell you what, I like how you pick up his name. He, to me, was our best bowler consistently throughout the tournament in all phases of the game.
Interesting.
Yes, I was very impressed with him. I hadn't seen much of him before until this World Cup. And you got a good stock, including the left hand, the other left hand, Nagara, I think his name is. You got a couple good group of fast bowlers to work with coming through there in Zimbabwe, and maybe as you said, you don't know the names of others outside of the setup, but I'm sure there got to be some that in the pipeline, so to speak.
Yeah, I've seen a few. There's a left arm young one is 19 or 20. Good pace. He reminds me a little bit about Malcolm, the skid he gets off the pitch. And when I saw him bowling one game, and I said to the head coach, we need to get this guy in the camp. And he said, he's already in the system. I'm glad you recognize that. And he's going to join us whenever the World Cup is finished in terms of every cricketing camp that we have. I just want to touch a little bit about the left-arm seamer, Richard. I have a lot of respect for him because we thought he wasn't going to be able to play in the World Cup because of that injury that he was carrying. He got through with it. He will learn from it as well, but his heart is in the right place. And I'm telling you what, if we get him fully fit with him, Blessings and Evans, and the other youngster that we have, and Tino, it would be enough to look at to select from to have a reasonable potent attack.
Right.
Yeah. Courtney, just let's look back at the game against the West Indies. Of course, a big game. You lost the game. West Indies scored very heavily. Let's look back at that game. Where did you go wrong, your thought, against the West Indies?
Well, we go wrong by going to India to play West Indies in the first game in their backyard, so to speak. They haven't lost in Mumbai, never ever. So we knew it was going to be very challenging. The only chance you probably would have had if that Edmire catch was taken when he was nine would have made a big difference in the game.
Yes, yes.
Right? Well, you don't drop a player like Edmire off a nine and then expect to get away with it. So that's where I think we went wrong.
Yes, and that catch should have been taken.
Yeah. It wasn't that difficult to catch. If that catch was taken, I'm not saying we would have won the game, but I think it would have been a much different game. That fire that Edmire was under would have probably been smoked a little bit. And the other batters would have had to come to the fore. I don't think they probably would have scored as quickly as Etmeyer did.
Right.
He was just on fire that day.
You're very right about that. And overall, the West Indies, you know, if you put on your West Indies hat now, were you happy with the way they played overall, the West Indies?
Yeah, I was happy with the way they played. I was happy with the approach. One or two things I would have probably, you know, I thought about, but not being in the camp, not sure about the selection in terms of pitches and whatever, matchups. But I think the overall attitude, the way they went about it, the confidence that they showed, I was very, very excited. India and India was always going to be a difficult game. And I think in the venue that they play them at, it's a venue that, you know, if you bat second, you're going to sort of come out on top 8 times out of 10. So it was probably a bad toss to lose. But the way they went about it, the whole campaign, and I was happy for what I saw. They probably, Alzari Joseph, maybe if he was fully fit, might have helped out a little bit more. We don't know, but with that extra pace, because that is always something to sort of bargain for. But apart from that, I thought the team played well. Just unfortunate with the, you know, with the, couldn't get into the semis.
Mm. So you would give the best teams a passing grade then?
Yeah, I thought I did well in the World Cup. I mean, a lot of people probably didn't expect them to get to the Super 8 based on what you hear people saying.
Mm.
But I was happy with the way they played, the type of the brand of cricket that they tried to play. And hopefully that they'll be looking to improve on that as things goes on.
Mm. Just before you go, Courtney, what's next for you, Ambassador? Where are you now, though? But by the way, where are you? Are you in Antigua or are you in Jamaica?
I'm in Antigua right now. Got in a couple of days ago. And by the weekend, I'll be heading off for the PSL in Pakistan. I will stint with them.
Mm.
So you got to give them a chance to get
Who are you with there at the PC, in Pakistan, the PSL? Who are you with? Which team are you going to be?
Pinzin Rawalpindi with Rizan as captain and Inzaman as our mentor.
Oh, wonderful.
Inzaman who left.
Mm.
So I'm in good company. I
so
think.
You're the bowling coach? Really you're obviously the bowling coach, yeah?
Growing up as a bowling coach and mentor, yeah.
So Courtney, you're getting steady work, man. You shouldn't worry too much.
I just started to Philo put in a word for me. So because Philo put in the word, you're listening to Philo Wallace.
Yeah, yes.
I'm thankful for him for that.
Yes. He's negotiating. He's a good agent, isn't he?
That's right.
He's a very good agent. He keeps things in the background. Well, Andrew, before I go, though, yes. I know the women play.
Yes, Australia.
Soon. I want to wish them all the very best. I know they had a tough series against Sri Lanka. I've been watching it. Well, I just want to wish them all the very best in that series. As you know, I used to be involved, so I still follow the team from time to time. And I'm hoping that we can spring a surprise or two against the Australia. It won't be easy.
No.
I'm hopeful.
It's St. Vincent, yes. Ambassador, do you miss being head coach of the women's team?
No. I think I did my time. I passed on. I think we did. I just want to say one thing, Angel.
Yes.
One of the things that I was very happy that we achieved, and a lot of people don't realize it, I think we're one of the few teams, or maybe the first or only team, that went to playoffs, qualifiers for the 50-over tournament, and made it to semifinal. Mm. That, to me, was a very big achievement.
Yes.
And I'm just happy and proud that we were able to do so. Yeah. We have struggled a little bit since, but
Ambassador, you lost your job.
I'm not going to get into the politics with you, Andrew. I'll tell you one other thing. I couldn't get a camp outside of Antigua.
I hope that Dr. Shallows listens to this.
The head coach praises for taking for getting camps and getting things done. Obviously, they listen to him, so I'm going to wish him and the team very well.
Yes. Well, Ambassador, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Mason and guests. I thought that Zimbabwe did well. Philo is going to negotiate that big contract for you to get a 3-year contract with certainly Zimbabwe. And you've always been a great servant of cricket. We want to thank you for coming to Mason and Guest.
Thank you very much. And all the best to you on the panelists. Philo, good to see you here, man. And young yes. Butch.
All
keep
right,
them on the toes. Keep them on the toes, young Butch.
Yes, indeed. All right.
So, doctor, behave yourself, Doc.
All right. All right. He has to behave yourself, Doc. I didn't know that Doc was bad behaved. This is something I've known about Doc now, huh? All right.
Yep.
Let's pause for business calls. When we come back, we've got some very special guests waiting. We're going to put the Barbados cricket down to the microscope. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Looking to refresh your troll finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low odor, fast drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in Coral Stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, I think it is important to let the Mason and Guest family know that I did, in fact, invite someone from the Barbados Cricket Association on the show. Pedro Graves was supposed to come in today. He called to say he couldn't make it. I spoke to President Calvin Hope, and he said he's going to be coming next week. Let's hope that he will be with us next week. So, you know, Mason and Guest, we're very much into balance, and we certainly want to make it very clear that we did, in fact, invite somebody from the Barbados Cricket Association. Now, the local season starts on April the 4th. ASA Field Pickwick will play against Signa Globe Financial Barbados Youth. That's at Four Square. Wanderers will play against Impact Dells Road. The defending champions, Willie, will play against Fusion Boutique Spartan. Good to see Spartan back. That game is going to be at Dash Valley, the new home of Wildy. Windward will play against Bayview Urgent Care YMPC. That's a bit of a mouthful. That's at Lucas Street. And UWI will be hosting the Superb Blend Gladiola. That game is going to be at the 3Ws Oval. And certainly we're going to be looking at some new developments in relation to the proposal by the Barbados Cricket Association to make it semi-professional. My understanding is, and of course we're going to speak to Andrea Marshall about this and Armani Best. We've also got the president of the Barbados Umpires Association, Mr. Gregory Bathurst, with us. My understanding is that they're going to be $300 per player. This is going to be, of course, in the elite competition. So there are 9 series, 5 matches. 18 weekends, 45 matches, and when I do the maths, it works out to about $648,000, a lot of money, and you know, for one game, you're going to be having somewhat 24 players being paid. Of course, that of course would include a 12th man, so I better maybe become a 12th man as well, and they're going to be getting $100 per day. So that's something that is, well, interesting. And we really want to put that under the microscope and some other matters relating to the Barbados Cricket Association. I'm hearing that the annual awards ceremony is going to be on Saturday at the Hilton. But I'm also hearing that there's a little bit of disquiet in that in terms of those invited, the Barbados would have done very well last year, the Super 50 champions. They won the under that bilateral series. Of course, Barbados versus Guyana. The under-19 won, the under-15 won, the under-70s won, and the women won as well. But I'm told that the annual awards ceremony, only the captains and the members of the management team have been invited. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. And this is why it's so important to have a balance. And if that's so BCA, well, I don't know what's going on there, because I would think that you would want to celebrate those youngsters who have done so well and made this country proud. But my understanding is, and I'm sure that Philo Wallace may be in a position to confirm this, that for the time being, I'm told that the captains of these teams will be invited along with members of the management team. So you're not going to have the under-19, the under-15, under-17 team there to be celebrated. And I really don't believe that. I must say I'm very disappointed if that's the case. Anyhow, Andrea Marshall, the president of the Spartan Club. Good evening to you, sir. Sorry for keeping you waiting. What is your understanding of this development as far as the Barbados Cricket Association is concerned? They would have spoken to you in terms of the semi-professional league. Can you give our listeners an idea as to what you understand from this arrangement?
Good afternoon again, Andrew. And I think that I'm still at a loss as to what the actual outcome would be. As you correctly mentioned, you know, it has been mentioned to the clubs in general that there will be this $300 payment allocated to the players and the coach included, I must say. when we embark on this new season. Well, I think it's a good move, Andrew. I think there's still some unanswered questions because from my understanding, it is not just based on you playing a cricket game. It also encompasses and takes into consideration your attendance at practice as well. And I think that in the current scheme of things, a lot of the guys know work, and it's not really clear as to how many practice sessions you need to attend to have this $300 allocated to the person. Whose discretion is it at? Is there any leniency towards anyone that has a staunch job? All of these things are still unanswered as we approach that April 4th start date to the season. So there's still a lot of unanswered questions that we need the BCA to come to the fore and give us a clear indication of the expectations as the season dawns upon us.
Just before we bring in Armani, please, BCA, I've got my phone here. If anyone wants to join the program, maybe the president. I mean, someone should be here this evening. I must admit, I'm very disappointed because it was advertised that we were going to have the show, and the reality is that at the very, very last minute, no representation. I know that Gregory Brathett has got a meeting, which of course is going to be held very, very soon. So Gregory, we're not going to keep you waiting at all. So Armani, just give away to Gregory, the president of the Barbados Cricket Association. Are you ready? Like Freddie, you've had your meeting with the BCA, Gregory.
I would like to correct that and say that I'm president of Barbados Cricket Umpires Association and not the Barbados Cricket Association.
Oh, Barbados Cricket. Sorry about that, umpires. Sorry about that. I know that you've got aspirations to be, but I'm sorry about that. Umpires Association. Right. So have you had your meeting with the BCA?
Well, we have been meeting with the BCA a number of times during the year. Of course, as we always do, once a new president comes to office, we pay a courtesy visit. And we've been trying to work closely with the new president and new CEO leading into the start of this new season. Still some things to be done, some stuff still to be sorted before the season starts. But we are pressing ahead from our perspective, getting our membership in gear. Mm-hmm. We have a current course going at the moment for the level one umpires, which would be new umpires. Currently have about 22 persons on that course. So we're hoping that some of those will also come and take to the field, because there really has been a shortage of umpires over the last few years. We've had a number of persons who have retired because, as you are would be aware, previously quite a few people came into umpiring as they got older and closer to retirement age, which meant that their lifespan in terms of taking the field was not as long as what we are hoping we can do now to change the culture of that. And we've been seeing a number of young people coming into the association. So we've got a few young people, some of them still playing at the moment. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, as they look towards, as they reach that crossroad mm-hmm. in terms of whether or not there's a possibility of going on any further in career to the extent of playing at the highest level, there's a possibility of another avenue that they can continue to serve the game at a higher level. So we're hoping some of those will take to the field during this new season. And as usual, we're looking forward to the start of the season. We're going to have our usual meetings with our membership to look at the regulations. And there are a few changes in the regulations this year, hopefully to address some of the issues that has cropped up over the last few years.
So in terms of shortage, how short are you, in numbers? I mean, is there a chronic shortage of umpires in Barbados, President Brathwaite?
I wouldn't say that there's a chronic shortage. on any given Saturday, I think on our worst Saturday, we can be as much as maybe 16 to 20 umbrellas short. Mm. Remember that we are servicing schools, second division, intermediate, first division, and elite division.
Mm-hmm.
So we are putting over 100 umpires up there every week.
Mm-hmm.
But those times when we have that number of shortage is usually closer to summer, when we've got a number of things happening, people are traveling for holiday, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really when the pressure comes to bear, more so than at any other time.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that with the season and the format of the season changing, it has in the last year created for us a much better position, in that we didn't have a number of tournaments running at the same time. And that gave us an ease in terms of management of our numbers. So there were some periods where we actually had a surplus during last season. And looking at the format of this season, there's every possibility that we could find ourselves in that position sometimes during this current season ahead as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I understand that the umpires may be looking for an increase in pay. Is that true? Have you put that on the table? That's what a little birdie told me, President.
I'm sure Birdie would have told you that, and I'm sure that was probably part of the reason I was invited here. I knew there was some element of discussion that was going to be raised during this call. We've had discussions with the BCA, mm-hmm. As is normal with any organization who are providing a service.
Mm-hmm.
We all are impacted in one way or another in terms of what is happening in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there's a cost attached to persons, not just using their skill sets, but there's a cost to people, their time, obviously the efforts, the transportation costs. There are a number of cost factors that need to be addressed, and therefore it's a matter that has been, we've had discussions with the BCA, and we will, at the end of this month, before the start of the season, we will be updating our membership as to where we have gone with those discussions.
So you're confident that there may be an increase? Because I did some homework, and I'm told that the elite umpires get 100, the first division 100, the intermediate 80, second division 80, 50 over, 110, the 40 over shield 85, and the T20 70. Well, let's see if we had an increase, President Brathwaite.
Well, again, that's part of the discussions that we've had. The last increase that we've had in the association was 2019.
Wow.
And that is not anything that is new to what has transpired over the years with our association, and mm-hmm. I mean, has transpired not just at our level but other levels. But we leave that one out for now. Mm-hmm. But yes, they have. Our last increase has been in 2019, and that was obviously a part of our discussion, recognizing that we have not been to the table or we have not had any formal discussions around that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, we are in the process of hammering out a four-year memorandum of understanding with the BCA.
Okay.
Which will address issues like that. So for the first time, we should have a memorandum of understanding between the two organizations going forward, at least to look at the next couple of years, and then obviously we revisit from there.
Well, I'm sure that Dr. Ford and Philo would have some questions for you. Doc, anything for President Brathwaite?
Right. Hi, Mr. Brathwaite. Looking at what you mentioned with the remuneration, I wouldn't be delicate enough to ask you what you think your members are worth per match. But in this MOU, have you guys looked at any way of maybe If the BCA has financial challenges with increasing your remuneration, maybe we're working in tandem with a sponsor that you know sponsors the umpires, branding your shirts or whatever you wear, and maybe finding that as some way to finance the increase that you guys richly deserve.
I can answer that question quite easily, because over the years we have sought sponsorship for a number of years. We've had Sagicord, then we went on, we had the Crane Resorts as sponsor. And obviously coming into the COVID period, sponsorship became a little bit more challenging. And I know just now I said that we have not had an increase since 2019. But if we're going to be fair to the BCA, since 2019, we've entered negotiations with them where they have been providing the uniforms for the umpires for both red ball and white ball. Mm-hmm. And certainly that is a cost that we cannot discount, because the last time that we had our own uniforms, and that we provide our own uniforms with sponsorship in 2016, the cost of uniforms ran us around $35,000. And I dare say that we had looked at the possibility of looking after our own uniforms again last year, based on some stuff behind the scene that has happened. And the cost of providing those uniforms, all the quotations we had were running us in excess of $50,000, so over $25,000. So we cannot discount the fact that there is a benefit from the BCA there. And as I tell my membership all the time, there's also a facility that we have through the BCA for the use of Kensington for our training, etc., that there's a cost factor to that as well. So there are some benefits that come from the relationship. So it's not all down to what we physically get in our hands. And again, we are mindful that we are also providing a service to this game. And we are also mindful of the fact that we are giving back to the community by putting our services out there and help to bring some of these young people off the street and engage in something that's productive and could possibly create a lifetime career for them.
Yeah, that's true, because lots of sponsors want to sponsor in kind rather than in cash. So it's really important to look at, you know, materials or things that you guys use that would be useful to you that maybe people could sponsor, and that can be a benefit to you. But I'd like to ask, for those who don't know, including me, how do you finance the education and recruitment and all the other important functions of your association?
Well, our recruitment is done obviously through advertising, and we've had the good fortune of having one of our members who work with the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation TV station. So we've gotten a few interviews there over the last couple of years in trying to promote the course. And we use whatever media and social media platforms are available to us to try to encourage, engage persons to come and join the four. And as it relates to the actual cost and so on of the course, people like myself and Kareem Tate, Andrew Corbin, Leon Lane, Ayanna Holder have been giving of our services free of cost back to the lecturing and so on, because we recognize that it is difficult enough to get people to join umpiring or to come to umpire. And we therefore try to keep the cost to them as minimal as possible in completing a level one certification, which is the first step to your international qualification. And we produce that course to those who want to do that at a basic cost of $100, which includes your law books and materials. So really, it's really a give back to to the organization and to cricket from those who put in the hard hours of lecturing and so on.
Well, last question. What's the possibility of monetizing that? I mean, I don't know what other associations do in the Caribbean and elsewhere, but what's the possibility of maybe setting up a structure, you know, structured form that you can actually monetize, just, you know, taking umpiring beyond even our shores?
Well, monetizing that would probably entail us getting sponsorship, because mm-hmm. what we don't want to do is to mm-hmm. create a situation where in an event, in an effort to try to monetize that, then we make the cost prohibitive to those who are already, we're already trying to attract. And numbers, getting persons to come to do our umpiring course is not as easy as perhaps inviting them to play cricket. If you talk to a number of the players, they will tell you umpiring is something that they will never do because of all that comes with the pressures that come to bear. So mm-hmm. what we try hard not to do is to create a situation where it becomes a financial burden for persons to want to mm-hmm. take part or be a part of that. There are some other opportunities which will be explored. And I guess at this point I could probably say that I've accepted a role probably a couple of days after I retired as a master educator for ICC Americas. So I will be using that opportunity as well and some of the materials and so on from that to do some more umpiring development locally.
Oh, so wonderful.
See where that goes. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Just before we go to Philip, we're going to let you go pretty soon. I just want to get in my mind here again. How many umpires, you told me, I didn't make a note, on average that you need, let's say, per day? On average, how many umpires do you?
On average, we probably need about 132 umpires.
132 umpires per Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And you have about, that's about 100?
No, we have about 120 or so practicing.
120. So you're short by about, let's say, 12 or so, basically. 12, 15.
Yep.
Okay, good. All right. Just before we go to Philip, we're going to let you go soon. Just to get back to that meeting with the BCA, you said you've been having meetings with the BCA. I know that sometimes just before the start of the season, you were very concerned about regulations and all that. Have you had that meeting with the Barbados Cricket Association and hammer out your regulations and all that?
Well, the regulations have been sent out to the clubs and stakeholders
right.
Sometime last week.
Last week?
And what was a final draft.
Okay.
For those stakeholders to come back to the BCA with any comments or mm. any queries, mm-hmm. questions that they may have. So the regulations for the start of the season have been sent out to the clubs last week. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we're in a better position this season than we have been for
right.
the last decade.
Mm, I see.
Because over the last decade, we were in some instances getting the regulations a couple of days and mm. night before, that kind of stuff. So it's a vast improvement, but I think that it's something that can be further improved on.
Mm-hmm, I see. Right. Final question from me. Then we go to Philo. Then we're going to take a break and come back to Armani. We're going to open the lines as well. The proposal by the Barbados Cricket Association to go semi-professional, players are going to be paid. You think it's a good idea, President Brathwaite?
I think it's a good idea, but I would have probably have gone in a completely different direction.
Okay.
Simply because what we have is we now have a semi-professional league, but the only thing that is changing actually is that the players will be paid and we will have the league called a semi-professional league. But it's the same clubs, same regulations, same everything. The only difference is that players will receive a stipend and the format is now changed to say a semi-professional league. I really would have preferred to see, similar to what we would have seen in the past and perhaps enhanced, six teams with players drafted from your best players from your elite and division one drafted into those six teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you have six competitive teams playing at your top level if you're going to semi-professional. Because if I'm going to be quite frank, some of the cricket that we see on Saturdays, and as you go around the ground, you will notice that a lot of those games are finished. Three-day games are finished early on this third day, some on the second day.
Mm-hmm.
And what we really need is to see more competitive cricket between these sides. So I think the format of pulling together six teams and getting your best 90 players or whatever involved in that process,
mm-hmm,
would have added more value. And I shared this in my meeting actually with the BCA. I had with them last week, and I said to them, if we do six teams, 15 players, that's 90 players. If you're doing 10 teams at 12 players, that's 120 players.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, and you can easily sift through your elite group, and you can drop 30 players out of 10 of those quite easily.
Easily.
But more importantly, the focus now becomes on a smaller pool of players. It becomes a little bit more competitive, one. And two, you could, if you want to, because if you've set yourself a budget, you could now look at dividing that over 90 rather than 120 players. Or what you do is, if cash is an issue, you are again reducing your immediate cost by those 30 players, mm-hmm, again being cut, and that cost can now go towards,
mm-hmm,
you already have a coach, you need to assign a manager, and if it is possible, maybe a physio. So you create a structure that begins to look professional so that we can move towards a professional setup. So I've got my own views about what I think could have been better, but I am not sitting in position to make those decisions.
Mm.
I'm just an observer from this perspective.
So President Brathwaite, you don't agree with the BCA in terms of its format. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that I don't agree with them. I'm saying that I think that it could have been done in a different way to provide better results.
Mm. So should I ask the question again then?
Again, I'm saying I'm not saying that I disagree with them. A semi-professional league is fine. I think that getting players to the point where there's a stipend involved and so on, because a number of players have been complaining that they have been playing this cricket for a while.
Right.
It's costing them.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, because cricket is probably one of the most expensive, yes, individual sports, really. Mm. And when I say individual, I mean to an individual player. Because bats, pads, helmets, all those things are much more expensive than most of the other sports that you go into.
Mm.
So for those who may have been becoming frustrated because it's an expense to every season, and may have want to maybe walk away or not feel invested, maybe this is the first step towards getting that investment or seeing some level of commitment return into the cricket.
All right. Stay with us. I know you got another 5 minutes to go. Let's pause for business, because when we come back, we can get a comment from Armandy Best. And of course, we're going to bring in Philo Wallace as well. Interesting comments that you made in quite a diplomatic way. You are, in fact, disagreeing with the Barbados Cricket Association. And I think it's rushed. And I don't know if it's going to improve our cricket as well. I must admit this, really. And I really would want to be a 12th man, you know, to be honest with you, because I suspect we're going to have some very interesting 12 men, because you're going to get $100. Anyhow, Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger, made in the Caribbean, formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth to meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust, built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, time is flying when they say you're having fun. It's, what time is it now? 15 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. Let's go to Philo. Any questions for our president, Mr. Brathwaite? Philo?
I'd just like to say to Greg here, obviously, he has his work cut out in relation to this semi-professional league.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Umpire Association doing, Greg Green, in relation to bridging the gap between first division cricket or elite cricket, first class cricket, and obviously you made it to the international level.
Mm.
What educational tools or seminars are being put on for local umpires to bridge that gap?
Mm. Good question.
Yep, very good question, fellow. We've been working with our umpires, especially those who work at the first division and elite level. And what I will say at this point is that and this is a plan that has gone into place since COVID, during the COVID period, I started a program online where I selected 16 prospects from the association based on their age, based on their being fully qualified and so on, and worked with them exclusively. And expose them to quite a bit of experience. At the time, our umpire's coach assigned to the West Indies was David Levins out of Australia, and he came and he did some sessions with them. Joel Wilson came into a few sessions. I had Rod Tucker come into some of those sessions. So expose them to a lot more international experience. And we did some drilling down in terms of umpiring outside of the laws of cricket.
Right.
So we spent a lot of time, did a lot of presentations on management of ground weather, light, for example, did presentations on teamwork, match management, player management, a number of things that will embody what umpiring is all about outside of those laws and answering appeals.
Mm.
And I've worked tirelessly with those. We've gotten a few of them now moved on to the regional panel.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to work with them. And I've also, at this point, I guess I can say, I've also been doing some work with Cricket West Indies as an umpire coach and assessor at a number of their junior tournaments.
Okay.
So I also have exposed me the opportunity to work with a number of our younger umpires across the region, including our own. There's that. There is building that capacity, building the knowledge base and so on, and working on their skill sets to prepare them for the next level at every stage.
Mm. For Philo, just before you ask another question, let's bring in Armani Bessie. He's been out of the loop for quite a long time. Just bring him in. I'm sure that Gregory will stay with us for a couple more minutes. Armani, you are the captain of the Yorkshire side. You were demoted last year. What do you make of this proposal to go semi-professional? Do you like it, Armani?
Well, firstly, let me say, I can say on behalf of my club, we are very disappointed that we are not a part of it. In fact, that we got demoted the year before it was implemented. I'm very disappointed, but so it goes. Hopefully, it continues. I like the concept, but once again, I will echo the sentiments of my colleague, Mr. Marshall, and Prime Mr. Braffitt, in terms of a lot of unanswered questions. Still lingering in the air in terms of the correct implementation of this semi-professional league.
Hmm.
I had a few points written down, but I'm not able to access those right now.
Hmm.
One of them that I really wanted to make was I know is a significant financial outlay in order to implement this. I was just hoping for some kind of commitment or some kind of prospectus from the DCA, you know, like a 3-year plan, as opposed to just, it seems like it's being implemented this year, but there's no guarantee of it being implemented next year or the year after that. And I think that would be very, very important. That will show what plans they have in their mind, how they're looking to go for, how they want to better the cricket. Mr. Brophy made a very important point about creating the six teams and then having the best 15 players from each team on each of the six teams. I think that would make the cricket a little bit better. But obviously, that is not being implemented right now. If you want to be semi-professional, then you definitely have to have a physio. And personally, I think one 12 man is not enough. So there could be a sign there where two people get injured. What happens? The manager's supposed to come on, the coach supposed to come on. What's supposed to happen in that situation? So yes, there are a lot of unanswered questions. And then obviously myself and you, Andrew, we had a conversation prior to this show about stipulations in terms of players and who might be involved in these 12 member squads, because you may find that yes, the spots are competitive, but a team may not want to involve a young player in the team with the possibility of the team going down. So then you may find older, more experienced players taking up the spots of players that you want to develop.
Mm-hmm.
If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So there's a lot of unanswered questions that I wish that there was a BCA representative on the panel tonight that they'll be able to answer some of these questions. But hopefully they get answered at some point, and hopefully we can get some ideas to what the BCA has in mind.
Mm. Andre, what would you do differently, Andre?
For me, I just, again, echoing, I think Gregory hit the nail on the head. I think the time has come really to modernize the Barbados cricket in terms of attracting investment and creating platforms that really would benefit players, fans, and even partners. It's time that we include and, you know, invite the private sector to come on board. You know, I had this conversation with Carlos Braffett already. We have a Prime Minister's Cup. I think that cricket, for me, as long as I've known myself, has always been a major sport in Barbados to me. And to see that there's a Prime Minister's Cup for football that's franchised, I mean, we saw that it can work through BIM 10. I think that if the BCA wants to take that model and maybe tweak it a bit and really implement that as a part of a permanent fixture in the Barbados cricket arena, but obviously rebrand it to something else. I think the time has come that we need to modernize cricket, because if you're giving us $300, yes, but that does not, I mean, to Armani's point, you will have older players playing. There's no really room for development of younger players, because who stipulates, again, the $300? Is it at the coach's discretion? Coaches might pick more senior players that have been around the club for quite some time as opposed to bringing through the youth. So it leaves the window open to kind of favoritism. It doesn't lend really for cricket development. I think we need to modernize the cricket. And to Gregory's point, I would just believe in franchising the cricket, the local cricket season, picking at least six to eight teams, putting the players in a draft, you know, picking and doing salary caps, everything, Andrew. I think we just need to rework it and look at it so that in the end, not only just Barbados benefits, but the standard of cricket in the West Indies too would benefit.
Just before I bring in Philo, one quick question for you, Philo. We're going to come to you shortly. Andre, it's a very interesting comment that you're making in relation to your perspective on this. But I want to ask this question. Were you canvassed? Did you get the feeling that the Barbados Cricket Association spoke to the clubs before they came to the decision, or it is a matter of making the decision and then informing the clubs? Did you have any prior meetings with the Barbados Cricket Association on this?
The BCA did meet with the clubs, and this was basically spoken on. So to your point, it's the latter that you reference. Reddit would have probably came with the idea. That's the impression we got when we got Reddit Media. They came with the idea and then threw it out and rolled it out to the clubs.
Right.
I think going forward, there needs to be a lot more engagement with all the stakeholders, all the clubs, and so that we kind of meet in the middle in terms of cricket development in Barbados, and not just because they're the governing body for local cricket, that they just come up with these ideas and think that then the clubs should buy into it.
Philo, the floor is all yours. 424-1790 is a call number. We'll take some calls. Philo.
Andrew, it's quite interesting to hear the gentleman. As I say, hello to Andrew. I'll see him next week, Friday. Andrew, I for one think that the semi-professional league is a rush.
Rush.
I passed Maple Cricket Club this morning, Andrew, and the covers were on the outfield. Ooh. They had high winds last night in St. James, and the covers just blow away from the pitch. And these are things that Barbados Cricket Association should be looking at rather than semi-professional league at this moment. Get the club's structure right.
Yep.
Make sure the clubs have adequate facilities. You're going to semi-professional, Andrew, and I can bet you the umpires still will be changing in their cars. There won't be a room for match referees or anything like that. So these are things that you have to put in place. Semi-professional, the next step is professional. But you have to get the facilities right so that people can feel comfortable. And as Andre said, let the clubs have more say and a buy-in to the concept of semi-professional. Will the Guardian youth players be paid on Saturdays as well?
But do you know that, Andre, the Guardian youth players will be paid? Are you aware of that?
But they're part of the elite.
I am not certain. I heard something. I can't confirm, but I heard something on the lines that money will be going back into the schools and not to them specifically. But I stand to be corrected.
Andrew,
you may even have a situation, Andrew, where maybe some of our Guardian youth team players might be looking to go to clubs to get that money as well. They never know, Andrew, because there's so many avenues in which the semi-professional league can go.
Yes.
And I think that the Barbados Cricket Association should have had more discussions with the clubs and the schools as well, seeing that Guardian youth is involved or the Barbados youth were involved in it as well, to have discussions. It's last minute, 2 weeks before season start discussions. It's not it. In Barbados, it's not a big island. It's 166 square miles. You can have a meeting point and have meetings to discuss what you are planning and get the clubs to transition into semi-professional leagues. Because, Andrew, if a guy gets dropped from an elite team or squad, he goes down, the guy comes up. What is the connotations there?
Right.
Andrew, can I just have to leave you? But I'll just say this, and I'm sure that it probably will create a little discussion. Some people will probably be not very happy with my saying this, but look, this whole question of the Barbados youth team at this point in this discussion, if I had my way, we wouldn't be even having a discussion around this, because this is my personal view. In the current setup, current format, if we're going to continue this way, and I want to commend the BCF first and foremost, because $65,000 is significant investment in players, and maybe it could be managed better, as I said, in terms of how we go about it. But if I had my way, there will not be a Barbados youth team in our elite division.
Oh.
If I had my way, there will be a Barbados youth team in the first division.
Right.
And the slot that's taken by the Barbados youth team at the moment in our elite division will then become a BCH under 25 team.
Oh, interesting.
So those players who would have finished on the 19 and so on, you pick the best pool from that group and you keep them going and have an under 25 team where these guys continue to play together, continue to develop those players. And this will give you a good talent pool to continue to feed your national team. Because we lose so many of our young players after under 19. Some of them get lost in clubs, some of them just get lost out of the system. And I think that having a setup of an under 25 team in our top division might be able to capture and sustain the longevity of some of these players who we can then mold and continue to develop to to benefit our national cricket team. As I said, I know that it probably will be something some people would not want to hear, but if I had my way, that's what I would do.
Barbados have contracted players, Andrew.
Right.
Are these contracted players going to be paid at $300 as well?
Andre, do you know?
Outside of their contract.
Armani?
I'm not certain.
That's a good question.
I'm not certain either, but that's a very good question.
I just wanted to add,
Guyana tried something similar to this several years ago, and it just after about 2 years, it fell flat in its face. As I'm listening here to Philo and umpire Brathwaite. Actually, I met umpire Brathwaite before he became big time back in UAE when he was doing the associates umpiring when we were there for the World Cup qualifiers. But they started a thing with this semi-pro thing, something, but it was just above the club level.
Mm-hmm.
They had these franchises. It lasted like 2 years because it was not properly conceived.
Right?
And you had a lot of friends and family getting picked in these franchises and so on, and it just fell by the wayside. So I agree that you have to be very deliberate in how you conceive and all the parameters when you're gonna bring something like this to make it semi-pro, as it's being stated.
All right, let's take a call, can we? Hello, Ken. Are you sneaked in? Say hello to Philo quickly.
Good evening to you, Philo. How do you do?
I'm very well, Ken. Good evening to you. I hope you're doing well.
Yes. I noticed that everybody is rather bereaved this evening. I just need to say that for all that lives must die,
mm-hmm.
passing through nature to eternity.
Oh, wonderfully said.
That was Shakespeare Hamlet.
Let's take a call. Hello, welcome, Mr. and guest.
Peace be unto you and yours.
Good night to you.
And to each and everyone.
Sure.
I just want to say on the behalf of my family and I, we express our sincere deepest condolences to Mr. Bushir and his family and to friends and well-wishers of the passing of his wife.
Right.
May her soul rest in eternal peace with the ancestors. Mm-hmm. The only thing I have against Mr. Bushir is that he always gave my adopted son trouble. That is Jason Holder.
Oh, he gives him trouble, huh?
Yes.
That's very true.
Anyhow, all the best to you and trouble and mercies be with everyone. But
All right.
every day you are hearing, it is starting, you are hearing either you love somebody, your loved ones, or someone, you know, is passing, and it's very sad.
Yeah.
So all the best, and stay safe, everyone.
All right. Thank you very much indeed. Let's take another call, 441790. Hello, welcome, missing and guest.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you, Gregory. How are you?
Not many. You got any Gregories around you today?
Oh, but yes. Anyhow. Gregory Brathwaite. what's your last name? You're Gregory who?
Gregory Miller the Killer.
Gregory Miller the Killer. Okay.
I'm going to tell you about the World Cup.
Yeah.
I agree with what Michael Holden said.
Right.
Our West Indies played in the other zone. Right. They were not made that Super 8 thing neither. They want to get in that. They want to get reached so far.
Right.
West Indies played in the easier zone.
The easier zone.
And as I said, I said this before, that the only team they beat in there that is England, that you would have key any Harabo.
Right.
And England was not, if you notice, Don Utterly or something like that. He said that England wasn't playing at their best, which it was true.
Right.
Now, there me England in another quarter, there wouldn't be England.
I see.
So we ain't really, and you prove again. When we play the bigger teams, we didn't do anything. Look how easy South Africa beat us.
Right.
Look how easy India beat us, you know. And the game when we recover from 90 for 7, and it be a tinger team, they would have bowled out for 100 or something like that. I want to get them run.
All right, Gregory.
You want to thank you
for your contribution. Let's sneak another call in. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Yeah, good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you.
This question is for Mr. Brathwaite. What he come, says, a young upcoming empire.
Well, unfortunately, Gregory has left us. He says he has a meeting. I will certainly make a note of your question, and I'll try and ask him maybe tomorrow. But he's left us.
Okay.
All right. Is that all you have to contribute on the show?
Yeah.
All right. We could take another one. 424-1790. Hello, welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
I was dying. I was dying to get it.
Yes.
One. First day, like me, you watch a different game anyway. That was the worst bowling performance I ever seen in a World Cup that New Zealand put down.
Yes.
New Zealand had no plan.
Yeah.
They're running. They're just bowling short balls, hoping to catch somebody on the boundary.
I agree with you.
Only body was catching the ball was the people in the pavilion. And that's where the start round. I even left them at the church. I wasn't even going to church that day. I said, I'm going to watch the game. And then my friend called me and said, you know what? I'm going to church. Because this don't waste my time watching. From the time, they never learn anything from America. Because if you watch how America knows, lesser teams play in there and they perform like that, they would have been, no, to my mom, Mr. Doc, I am very, very, very disappointed in Doc for the comments he made last week. You know when he first came on the show, Doc was my number one man. Doc used to come and give the people, he had a lot of big people frightened to come in. And all of a sudden, Doc gets soft. And Doc, you know what they say? Birds of a yellow flock together. I think Doc has run too long now with these guys that being on the fence. You know, like, the two rolling. When you ask them a question upon the fence, they're not answering. I think Doc gets to that stage now, you know? Just if you hang around mad, people ask why they become mad. I'm not saying Doc is mad. What I'm saying is, he around these guys so much that he begins to get soft. He don't want stepping nobody towards.
So, Connor, what did Doc say last week that disappointed you?
Then he said that if anybody has questioned recently, even if it was in there, they were going to go out. Doc got to be crazy. I'll tell you what. Now, the rest of this team, we got the worst coach in the world coaching. And we could still scribble a game here and there with the natural talent. If you have somebody with talent coaching them, they have to improve. They will improve. As even if you see the slightest, that's why I like Wallace. That's why I love Wallace. Because Wallace has come and put them under pressure. You got to come and ask the right question. Even you, I see you step up the other day when you started to talk about Dan Sammy. Not because you talk about Dan Sammy. You got to bring people on the program that's going to speak the truth, that is going to ask the hard questions and put the people under pressure. That is why a lot of them won't come on your show. Because when you were Wallace, who allowed them, they're right.
Yeah,
I was very disappointed, Doc, because Doc should have, Doc know better than that. Anybody that's called the rest of me, they've got to see improvement.
Doc, you're under the microscope. Doc, the call is very disappointed in you. Your response.
I'm sorry for him. I think it's, you know, we are all entitled to our opinion, and I do respect his opinion, but you know, I'm talking about a team that has lacked structure and has not been formidable for 30 years. I'm not going to sit here and say that Darren Sammy is going to be the root of all of our ills. I have said Darren is unqualified, but I did also say that with the resources we have, if you look at our team, how many of the members of our team can fit into another top four team? And the truth is, the only person in our team that can fit into any top team is Shea Hope. Even though Hetmyer made the top, and Holder made the team for the World Cup, the truth is, if we look at an Australia and England, we look at an India, none of our players can make their team. So I think it is, you know, a bit unrealistic to look at the resources that we have and to think that if we bought someone, even of the stature of the England coach or the Australian coach, that they would make a big difference dealing with those resources. And that is the point that's there. It's similar to your point with a captain making a big difference with the team and other things. Our problems are not problems that are singular. We're talking about a multifactorial multitude of things that cause our team to be where we are. So I appreciate what the caller says, but indeed I'm not here to just bash and bulldoze and to destroy. I'm here to insightfully say things which can be backed up by facts.
Mm-hmm. Caller? Is he gone? Oh, he's gone. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. All right. 44.
Andrew, another tip.
Yeah, 4417. Yes, Philo.
About Barbados youth, Andrew, we have to remember that they're part of the developmental process for the developmental process in cricket for BCA. And if you shove them away and play under 25 team, then you're going to rob the clubs of those players between the ages of 20 and 25. So, Guardian, the Barbados youth has a role to play in Barbados cricket. And having them at the elite level, I believe that they're the right place. But sometimes, you know how when the youth team goes away, not the good ones come through. I think that they need to be a more focus on playing better cricket, looking to win matches.
So, Philo, you don't agree with Gregory Bradford then?
No, I played for Combine Schools at Andrew in top flight cricket in Barbados, and we were competitive. I just think that is the need. I think Guardian Barbados, you have to have that nature, that competitive way of playing cricket. Rather than just going into the competition thinking, well, look, we're just playing. I think they need to be a bit more in them, give them that inspiration to go there, look to play against clubs and beat them. But they are worthy of being our elite cricket because they're part of the developmental process of the Barbados Cricket Association.
All right. We're going to try and sneak a couple more calls in. Can we do that? 441790. We're going to do that pretty soon. And just want to get some understanding of this. So the 24 players, now when Spartan, your first game is against who? Your first game is against Wilde. All right, so the 24 players in that game, 11 plus the 12 man we played, along with the manager and the coach, Andrik, can you help me here? Who would we paid?
The 12 players along with the coach. I'm not sure about the manager. I know the coach for sure, and the 12 players are eligible for this.
The coach is not paid by the BCM.
But isn't the coach?
Yeah, that's my thing. That's my thing too, fellow. So that's why I say there are a lot of loopholes in this that, you know, it needs some clarity. I mean, it's not a matter of taking bread out someone's mouth, but to your point, as you rightly said, they're already paid by the BCM on a monthly basis.
I don't see why
they're paid again. Yeah, go ahead.
Another question. Andrew, when Wendell Coppin was on the show 2 weeks ago, he said that they had some people, train at Bimat, and they're thinking about paying an administrator. Are they going to pay the administrator there at Spartan? Do you know anything about that?
Andrew, I have no clue about that one. To Armani's point, I'm really sorry that BCA representative wasn't here to state the case on behalf of them as well.
Well, I mean, as I said at the beginning of the show, I did invite Mr. Pedro Graves, who did in fact say he was going to come, but then today he said he couldn't make it. But President Calvin Hope has said that he will come on the show next week, so we're looking forward to hearing from President Calvin Hope next year. But it is, you're right, there should be a representative of the Barbados Cricket Association. Because, Philo, I don't know if we're going to do a commercial break. And, of course, we've got to be out of here by 2 minutes before 8 o'clock.
Philo, that would be 2 minutes to 8, clearly said.
Philo, just before we go to the commercial break, are you hearing that only captains of the winning teams will be invited to this big function on the annual awards?
I don't think former Barbados captains are going to be invited, Andrew. So it wouldn't be surprising if only captains are being invited to the BCA awards. I think that when it comes to these kind of things, Andrew, you're going to look at, they're going to the Hilton, it's going to be a cost. They're paying cricketers now to play cricket in Barbados. Everything is a cost, but we keep hearing the BCA has no money.
But
at the end of the day, Andrew, you have to look at those people who have made significant contributions to the sport.
Yeah.
But actually give them the opportunity to mix and mingle with the future of Barbados cricket.
Well, Philo, they have no money, but I mean, just to pay 18 weekends, 45 matches, 9 series, 5 matches, of course, per Saturday. That works with the $640,000 Barbados dollars, and has nothing to do with paying an administrator or coach. So, I mean, you know, if you had to add that, then it's going to be a lot more. Anyway, can we take a call? Ken? Yes, we can. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Hi, good night, Mr. Mason. How are you?
Oh, we are okay. How are you?
I am good. What I'm calling about, I read your article in the paper Sunday.
Yes.
And what is very good. I appreciate that. I hope one of these Saturdays you could come and join Mr. Yard when we come to the booth. And give me some more thing of this idea.
Mm.
It was very good. I'll let your article, though.
Well, I mean, I've never been one to shy away from a comment. Truth is not always popular, but truth is always right. I mean,
yeah.
And I know with interest many people have been saying that, yes, the Gold Cup, I mean, it's a massive event, but, you know, it has to be covered. And I think for quite a long time, I think it's something that they need to look at. I mean, I must admit, really.
It's time enough that you come up to and enjoy it with Mr. Allen and them too.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not a big horse racing man. I mean, I've been there on one or two occasions.
But if you're in a horse racing fan and you come and see the horses, you know,
Basically. Did you go to the race?
I was at the Garrison, Mr.
Oh, oh, you're a Garrison man. Yes, okay. I go to the Garrison to jog. I used to do that a long time ago, and I'm not a horse racing man at all.
I thought you went to horse around.
Well, that's true.
Anyhow, I appreciate what you had in the papers.
Yeah, I mean,
it was very interesting.
I know that some people,
and I appreciate it.
Yeah, but some people are not happy with it. But these things happen in life.
Because
I think
what people want to say is that it's your opinion. You put in papers, it was very well, and what anybody wants to change it, then change it.
I think you do
your part.
I think I've been around long enough to make such a comment.
Yes, no problem. Thanks very much for that.
Thank you very much indeed. Can we take a call?
Right,
yes, we're taking these calls. Hello, welcome.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
How are you, friend?
Good night to you, all the listeners.
Yes.
And your people there with you.
Yeah.
I got a question I want to ask you. You feel, first thing, before the rest of the event to the tournament, they ain't got a fella. The only boy here said that they got a chance to win. If my memory serves me right, it's Clive Lloyd and Derek Murray.
Yes.
Everybody had him to get the first man back home.
Mm.
So you don't believe they do well?
Well, our standards are so low nowadays. I mean, when you look at it, the reality is that, we did, in fact, you know, in the prelims, we beat England. It was a good victory. I think that many people would have been disappointed that the West Indies did not go far, but I don't think they were surprised. Let me put it in that way. I think there will be some disappointment. I don't think that many people would be surprised that the West Indies did not go any further. Given what we have not done, we've not been consistent. And Doc put it right when you look at the rankings as well. That's important. He made that point a couple of weeks ago. So I don't think anyone would be surprised that the West Indies didn't go all the way.
Before I get cut off, let me ask another question.
Nobody's going to cut you off, sir.
What about Australia? Anybody had Australia to get run home?
The Australian team was not the best at all. And they came against Zimbabwe, they lost. I think when you look at India, had a very powerful team. You know, South Africa had a very powerful team as well. And I got
something to tell you on all the pundits, you know, right?
Yeah.
You see Australia? You see the 3 men that ain't go that ain't right?
Yeah.
Australia gonna find themselves worse than the rest, you know.
Yeah.
Australia got some men that green and then got this them is 1 and 8 men.
Yeah.
And everybody I don't know, all happened when we made that we met like they're like Pakistan. Yes. They're ready to lose tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
But we have a lot of good time, and I think I had a right call. I got me actually playing. And we know before the wrestling team right there that had 3 men right there that played best. That I had the right left in the Caribbean.
Yeah. Call up, but I want to thank you. Just before you go, you're going to be watching any local cricket. It starts on April the 4th.
I still ready when I started. I want you to start.
Well, I mean,
the already gone. I had somebody that was a player cricket.
If they give me a pick, if I think they're going to be doing commentaries on Starcom. So I mean, if they give me a pick, I'll, you know, sometimes when they make comments, you get trouble. Because you know, I've suffered. You know, I could write a book about the treatment that they've given to me over the years, you know. But I mean,
well, I know.
Independence is the greatest of all human benefits, sir.
But, Andrew, and, let me ask a question.
At every level, they give me trouble.
Very tough when people saw them on Saturday.
Yeah, but
how
that.
You feel?
We're going to take our final commercial break because we're going to be out of here in 7.5, 2 commercials. Oh my golly, let's go and take those commercials. We don't want to get into any trouble with anyone at VOB. Mason and Guest, brought to the association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Looking to refresh your troll finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-odor, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in coral stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, 441790 is the call number. I'm Andrea Marshall-Civilis, and of course, we've got Dr. Ford and Basil, who said that Guyana tried it and it failed. Andrea, do you get the feeling that this is something that may be sustained? Andrea?
Ideally, I would like, but as I said, I would like the structure to change, see a more franchise type approach. Right. I don't think that this promotes cricket development as it is currently pitched towards the club right now. I don't think so.
Doc, you've listened, you've made notes. I mean, what do you think?
Well, you know, as a former administrator, I know how difficult it is to really get things done. Revenue is always a big problem. In the long run, there will always be criticisms and that sort of thing. Earlier when we spoke about it, I said that I would have preferred to put the revenue into developing the clubs, assessing what clubs needed, finding solutions with them and using the revenue to solve those solutions and, you know, also teaching clubs to be self-sufficient, sustainable. And I think marketing and fundraising is important within the clubs to make them stronger. Also recruitment and things for clubs to make them, you know, to have some sustainability as it relates to their materials and players going forward. The thing with being an administrator and giving remuneration to athletes or players is that eventually you get to the stage where that number becomes too small, and then that becomes a driving force, and we have these negotiations over and over. So then it becomes a burden to the administrative team trying to keep up and trying to, you know, to have to match what's happening with all the expenses and that go on in the world, oil prices and everything. So I don't see it as being sustainable. That's the main thing. But I do believe that administrative teams cannot really do all the things that we want them to do. And I mean, you mentioned having a whole team at an event, and you have to think of what does a plate at that event cost. It might be or everything, it might be $80 a person. So that's another cost. Everything that you look at, paying umpires more, that's a cost. And the, you know, the budget of the BCA is fixed. And the thing is, when you have so many players to take care of, and you have, you know, covers, and, you know, Philo mentioned so many things, it all comes down to money. And I don't think that, you know, the BCA can keep up with inflation and to do all the things that they would love to do. And they have been invested and have done a lot for cricket and have been one of the bigger administrative groups in Barbados. I mean, it's only football that comes close to them. I believe cricket is the biggest administrative arm in sports in Barbados. So for me, I would have used the money in a different way. I think if your calculations are correct, and I find them surprising, I would have found a way that 2 years from now the clubs would be better by just building them up and building up their infrastructure and ability to stand on their own 2 feet. Because we depend on the clubs to give us the players to make cricket strong. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're going to have a paradigm shift to have better players from Barbados and to make West Indies cricket strong again in all the countries, we need to make the clubs better.
Mm-hmm. I I certainly agree with that assessment. We've just got another 2 minutes left on the show. Is it 2 minutes right, Ken? I know you're watching your cell. You don't have a watch. You're using that big cell phone you got there. Just 2 minutes left on the show. We're going to end with Andrea and, of course, Philo. Andrea, do you think that, yes, it may be an incentive, do you think it's going to make cricket better, though? What's the objective here? Andrea?
At this point, Andrew, I don't think that, as I said a little earlier, I don't think it's gonna harvest the development that I guess it's intended for. I think the structure has to change. I can speak on behalf of Philo when I say I really do think that and hope that the BCA really takes into consideration having open dialogue going forward on a consistent basis, not just once a year. You know, on a consistent basis, having touch bases and, you know, little town hall meetings with the clubs, the presidents of the clubs and the cricket fraternities to really look at the structure of Barbados. How do we get back and raise the level of cricket in Barbados and make it more attractive to players?
Final question to you before we go to Philip for the wrap. Are you going to the BC Awards on Saturday?
Yeah, funny enough, I got an email, an invite, and it specifically said only one person.
Oh, so it's you. So you're not able to take your girlfriend or your wife?
No.
Golly. Oh, my golly. Oh, my golly.
Yeah.
I think that's reserved for Doc Ford. Philo, have you gotten an invitation, Philo?
No, Andrew. I haven't gotten an invitation from the Barbados.
Say that again. Say that again, Philo. You've not been invited to this big function on Saturday?
No. Last year, Andrew, it was the same thing. I even put a question to one of the BCA members last year. They told me to watch it on Zoom.
On Zoom? So
I will not even be given a Zoom link to watch the awards this year, Andrew. I just hope that the Barbados Cricket Association take heed to what is being discussed tonight, Andrew. Nobody is knocking them. It's just points of discussion.
Right.
And these are things that you expect big men and women who sit at the mahogany table to make decisions for future cricketers come up with the answers, Andrew. Because at the end of the day, the country needs cricket. If you listen to a lot of this happening around Barbados, everything hinges on community and bringing the community sports together. And there's another idea too, Andrew, that I think that the BCA should look at in relation to parish cricket. If you look at the Prime Minister's cabinet discussed earlier, we can have parish cricket of a similar cut. And throw that into the public domain to bring communities back together. I have it in a T20 format as well. So there are a lot of things that the Barbados Cricket Association should discuss, and I hope they do it sooner rather than later. The season is upon us, and let's wish them success, and we hope that we can get some young budding cricketers coming through.
All right, thanks very much indeed, Philo, for being on the show. Thanks to you, Basil Butcher. Thanks to you, of course, Doc Ford, Andrea Marshall, brilliant to have you. And of course, Armani Best was very much a part of this as well. We heard from Courtney Walsh, Ambassador Walsh, who's going to get a 3-year contract with the Zimbabwe team. We'll continue these discussions. We put the BC under the microscope. Our special guest next week is supposed to be the president of the Barbados Cricket Association, Mr. Calvin Hope. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.
That lasts. Choose Berger, made in the Caribbean, formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth to meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust, built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.